woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Hello, Page Stacks and Jacks. Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tim Hunt. She's Jay-Z on the board. 2 days in a row, she's going to shoot for 4 this weekend. What's the over-under on that, Jay-Z?
I think that we're going to do it.
Okay. And she's sometimes let you know how she's tired in the morning, but she's always here, which is okay. You make a great trading floor person. No matter what, you're always there. That's the first rule. You gotta show up. Kevin, how are you?
80% of success is showing up.
That's right.
That's like my biggest. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying that some people obviously in the day they'd say, look, I don't care how hungover we are. I'm not saying you're hungover. You can sleep under the desk until we need you, but you got to be here if we need you. There'd be people like sleeping. What's the matter with that guy? He was out last night. Okay. SP futures down a buck, Chuck. Dow futures down 12. NASDAQ futures down 12. Oil down a whole 6 cents. 10-year yield was down some yesterday, up a little bit today, 3.23. But actually backed off of here yesterday, and I use it as a chance to reload because I think it's going higher, and I have some people short bonds, and we'll see how that works out. It has not worked out for a long time, and all of a sudden, the last couple of weeks, it has worked out. So we've managed to hang in there, and with the hedges, not get beat up too bad. Now that it's moving up, we're moving up. So that's the good news. The bad news is I should have just waited until 2 weeks ago.
Moving on up.
Yeah, moving on up. The bad news is, Kevin, if I just would have bought shorted the bonds 3 weeks ago, I'd have been fine. But I just shouldn't have done it 3 years ago. You know, it's been a struggle, but at least when you struggle with your hedges, at least you hang in there. Instead of losing, 30%, you lose 8%, which isn't good. But then as soon as it comes back your way, you can make that up pretty quick. As soon as it comes back. A couple of interesting stories this morning. I'm sure you've got stuff, but our buddy Paul has... reason why I sent you guys that article yesterday, so you do have a heads up. It is... there's a lot of, and I don't know, I mean, I'm not much of a, well, I don't know anything about doctrine. I don't know nothing about birth and babies. What was that, Golden with the Wind? Anyway, there seems to be a lot of these, what's the word for them, Kevin? The little diseases that are very serious that very few people have. They call them,
I would call them little diseases that are very serious and few people have.
There actually is a name for them. Somebody must know. Jay-Z, do you know? It's a...
No, but I can try and find it.
Yeah, there's actually a name for that. And these are the ones that people take advantage of when there's like, there used to be two people making the drug and it's, $500 a month and all of a sudden somebody takes the other person out and it's, $20,000 a month, type of thing. And evidently there's a disease here called, what the hell is it? Anyway, you get too much, copper builds up in your liver, or something along those lines. Isn't it, Kevin, isn't that it? Wilson's disease. I'm gonna guess that the first guy who had it that was diagnosed with it was named Wilson. Would that be a stretch?
Good chance.
Sort of like Lou Gehrig's disease, right? Anyway, but I don't think he was the first. He was just the most famous. Anyway, so there's a drug that, now Bausch & Lomb is making. Now, the article is, it's an article here that's very sketchy. In terms of what happened where, it's on a Tribune Media Wire. So what is that, the equivalent of the city desk or something? I don't know what the hell that is, but anyway, but they immediately already get confused with the insurance, Kevin, because that's what's so screwed up about this. And you and I have talked about, if you're not paying for it, you don't care so much if somebody else is paying for it. So you don't really bitch until the insurance stops paying for it. So if insurance wrote the check for this $21,000 a month they now want with this instead of the $700, the guy probably figures there's not a problem. But there's still a problem, right? Somebody's paying $21,000 where it used to be $600. So I'm guessing, just guessing, mind you, that the actual cost to make this stuff is somewhere south of the original $600. Maybe like $100 or maybe like $50, right? So we're not looking, you know, it's not like we need the, you know, the gonads of some fish only found in a pond with piranha that somebody's got to dive down and get, right? So it's not like we're talking about, you know, that they're actually, the cost of the drug is that, extreme. I'm guessing. I'm not just guessing. I'm making an educated guess. And yet, I'm not so sure we don't have, but as I said before, Kevin, we don't seem to have any idea of how to deal with this stuff. And a Bausch and Lomb, for somebody who's been in the, and I'm sure it's one gazillionth of their business, has been involved in the, for those that don't know and don't care, I've been wearing contact lenses since I was 16, when really, it's about the time people started wearing them, right, Kevin? One thing I know for sure, I could never wear the ones I wore back then, because there no air got through them. I mean, you could only wear them if you're like 20 years old. But as time has gone by, even the ones that people refer to as hard lenses aren't hard lenses. They're gas permeable and they're really semi-soft, with 60% of the air goes through versus, you know, a soft lens is what, 90 or so. Anyway, because I know a lot about them wearing them for 50 years, make that 55. Anyway, I've always felt that one of the biggest ripoffs on earth is contact lens solution. And every time somebody new came on the market, and I've kind of traced this, they were cheaper and they were better, and all of a sudden they're bought out and somebody leaves and these guys' name are on the shelf and they'll say it's owned by something and something, and there's only like one or two people that are in the business, and Bausch & Lomb has been one of them. And I think for every time I've bought contact lens solution for basically 48 years, I'm going to say that I've overpaid by 25%. Now, did it change my life? No. I mean, when I go to the store, am I like not making like water them down? No. But they're $11 when I think they should have been $6, Kevin, or $6.50 or $7 or something. And I think this is going on over and over and over again until somebody actually
it's a business strategy that says if I don't have competition, that's my approach to maxing out profitability.
Well, and if you keep it,
if you don't have competition, you can set the price wherever you need to set it.
But if you keep it under a dull roar, if you keep it, it's actually, you know, it's good business. I mean, basically, even if,
well, it's smart from a business standpoint. You can question the ethics, but
let's put it this way: if there were no patent laws and the world was perfectly competitive, which of course it never is, the theory of business, the reason why somebody would like to invent something new, even if you didn't get any protection or anything from anybody, you'd sit there and say, all right, Kevin in chief, and we'll bring Jay-Z with, we invent, I'll show my age, we invent the new hula hoop, okay? Well, they happen to get a patent, but say they didn't. We pop this thing on the market, and now once we've designed it and made it, you know, we can pop these suckers out for a dollar. Okay? Now, we can probably make money selling them at $4 or $5, you know, pretty good money at $5, or we can gouge the hell out of people at $10. Now, it's not like a drug where you're curing somebody. So if you price it at $25, most mothers, at least in our day, Kevin, would say, you don't need a hula hoop at $25. If it's $5, they'll probably roll with us, right? I mean, just to shut us up. Am I along the right lines here? But the whole point of business is when you are first on the market with something, when you innovate something, there's a theory in business that says, after a period of time, no matter what you do, ends up essentially at the risk-free rate. Because if something becomes such a, even an oil well that's been pumping for 30 years and you know it's going to pump for another 30, that thing, probably you're going to be able to buy it, you know, at 10%. In other words, if it's making $1 million a year, you can probably buy it at $10 million. Because it becomes an annuity. So what you want is...
Yeah, your upfront investment cost is already sunk. You're working your way down, along the experience curve where you're driving down your unit price on it. And once you've fully recovered all of your upfront investment, when other competitors come into the market, you're operating on cash flow, and they're operating on just trying to recover their investment.
Well, but it also is
a good summary of it.
Well, not exactly, because you are going to get what I would consider to be excess profits in the beginning that are your returned innovation. In other words,
although that's not always true.
No, it's not always true for sure. But I'm going to say,
because if you hit the market too early, then when people aren't ready to buy, when there, when there isn't real demand for the product, then all you do is run your Tesla business into the ground.
Right. Well, I guess I'm trying to explain this, because it's actually a pretty it's a tough principle, and it's one people I think really need to understand. Is I get to make a decision. Okay, I can make the hula hoops 5 hours and get my mental investment back faster, knowing that as minute somebody sees it, they're going to go, well, that thing isn't that hard to make. I can charge $3, and I'll undercut the chief Kevin Jay-Z operation, and I'll be on the market in 3 months. Okay, and maybe the 3 months that I get to charge $5 or we get to charge $5 is more than enough to put us over the top, and then we'll be happy to sell it to somebody after that. Or we could be clever, and we could charge $3.50 or $3.75. To where the other guy goes, man, I could charge $3 and make more dough here, but I'm not going to go through all that. Just because he can probably come down to 50 cents easy enough from $3.50. And by the way, there's not that much there. In other words, you can price it just over, what the risk free rate would be, and probably is not enough to incite somebody to come into the business. So there is a decision in there. Okay, I mean, if there's two hamburger joints in town and one guy dies. And now we're the only hamburger place. If we only raise our prices by 10%, it probably doesn't incent somebody else to build a new hamburger place. If we double them, somebody's going to say, well, gee, look how much these idiots are charging for these burgers. Why don't we open up another hamburger place? You know what I'm saying? You can somewhat control the market by your, I'll use the term greed. But it's not really greed, it's study. So when somebody gets something from $600 and runs it up to $21,000, for God's sake, are they mooning the country or what? Is there no fear at all, Kevin, of somebody saying, what the bleep, over? I mean, if they raised them to $750, nobody would have blinked. I don't think. Maybe $900. Insurance would have paid for it. Nobody would have bitched. But $21,000, what are you doing? Are you flinging poop in somebody's face? Or what, are you just saying, I'm not afraid of you guys at all? Or what are you doing? I just don't get the mentality.
That's exactly what you're saying, is I'm not afraid of you guys at all.
I mean, I can understand the part about, hey, there used to be four people making this, and now we're down to two. I'm going to nudge mine up 20%, see if the other guy does too. That's what airlines do, right? But you're not going to walk to the airport tomorrow and say it's $20,000 to fly to L.A., right? All of a sudden,
so let's sort of go back then to what does patent protection mean, and what should it mean? Because either way, it's not a market force. Well, it's market shaping, but it's not the free market, as you said at the beginning of the conversation. So, on the one hand, if you are granted an exclusive right to produce something by the government, does it seem fair then that the government should have a right to regulate the pricing on it?
Yes.
Yeah, and see, I think that's where we break down. Is we want to be free marketers on the one side, where we say, well, they're just pricing it to market. And on the other side, we want to say, but we're not free marketers because we have patent protection.
Well, it sort of depends on what...
That's where it breaks down. I'm as free market as anybody comes, but once you're on the, on one side of the dole, you should expect to be controlled on the other side.
You know what, Kevin? I can't believe... I just heard you say that. Even though,
well, do business with the mafia, play by the mafia's rules,
that's the thing.
The way it goes.
When I hear people, and it's not like, did I have all the answers? Because I know I don't. when somebody says something about, you know, let the electric company do what they want, that's capitalism. I feel like was the Aquavelfa a cold slap in the face? I mean, I'm like, what are you talking about? They're so far up the ass of the government. How could they possibly be a free market at any point here? We're so far beyond that, we can't even see where the starting line was. I mean, name me, can you even name 8 or 10 businesses that are truly free markets? I'm going to name agriculture. I'm not even sure, some soda pop and things like that, because I'm not even sure,
Well, they are in the sense that, I mean, certainly they're regulated businesses from a health and safety standpoint. Where they're not free is that when you're awarded a distributorship, you have exclusive rights in your area. On the other hand, the bidding for those, it's long term, so it doesn't turn over very much, but the bidding for those is free market.
Right, and
that's just a business model, but it's not. It's not like you can have 6 distributors in the same area of the same product, because you don't.
Well, you also have the patent laws. I mean, we could spend, this is coming back to my Father Fitzgerald at Notre Dame. It could be one of the worst, most useless laws ever put together, Kevin, in the way it's worked out. Because when you go to get a patent, matter of fact, I did some work with this company here in Chicago, and I said, by the way, do you have any patents on this stuff? Oh, no, why would we want a patent? Well, isn't that what people do? I mean, being naive, if you put your stuff out there to be a patent, and you're a small firm, all you do is show people what you've got, and people steal it, and we can't defend it. How's that for us?
Yeah, and they steal it before you get your patent, and
and
they have deeper pockets than you for the fight.
But for just so everybody knows the routine, and again, I'm not a patent attorney. If you apply for a patent, the government, somebody in the bureaucracy, does somewhat of a search as to whether or not somebody has something close enough to where you can't get the patent. Same way with like a trademark or a copyright. Yeah, because we have obviously trademarks on stocks and jocks. We have state trademarks on a protected index program, things like that. But if all of a sudden somebody pops one out tomorrow, they're not defending it. We are, you know. So that's a problem. And so the bigger firms, the people who can control the patents, if you get anything close, they're just going to sue you. There's people that just buy up people's patents and whatever product that comes out there, dig through their files and say, this one's close enough, and sue you. What do they call them, patent trolls or something? So the law has been totally coerced. But there's two. One of the things that Kevin, I think, was alluding to before I rudely interrupted him is most of the time it works okay if it's something you're paying for. So if somebody pops out with something new, there's a price at which, you know, if it's a hula hoop, like I said, if $5, your mom might roll with it. At 25, she's going to say you don't need one. But if it's a drug, and insurance start paying for it, and the person buying it doesn't directly have to pay for it, then the decision mechanism gets, I'll use, skewed. Is that a term?
That could be one. Yeah. Or think of it this way. Think of you're a Medicaid patient, and you have a drug where the patent has expired, and the generic's available, but because Medicaid is willing to pay for the larger the larger price tag, because that's an all negotiated price. So because of that, you have pharmacies giving their Medicaid patients the more expensive drug,
right? And
without asking. And that's sort of a different corrupt angle on the whole thing too. So you do get the prescribers involved in this because they're getting better markups out of the name brand than they are out of the generic, and as a result they fleece the taxpayer instead of the consumer.
Well, yeah, and but we haven't. There doesn't seem to be. I think what Kevin and I are struggling to say here, on the same page, which is even rarer. There doesn't seem to be a formula, a plan, Let me give an example of probably the single biggest discovery of medically in this country, probably to this day, Kevin, I'm thinking, is still a polio vaccine, right? Before that, I mean, life was just miserable for people. You couldn't go to the beach. They didn't go anywhere. There's pictures of. Jay-Z, can you imagine this? In the wintertime, the classes were held outside. There were wooden classroom floors above the snow, and kids sat there in their boots and coats because they didn't want any internal air that was recirculated because they were afraid people were going to catch polio. I mean, it was just a whole different lifestyle, and it was just nothing but fear. And so Salk, with a bunch of other people, they come out with a vaccine, and when the vaccine worked, they were going to make that day a national holiday, Kevin, correct? I mean, and you and I came at the tail end of that. Matter of fact, doctor thought I might have had a very small chunk of that when I was a kid, even after the vaccine. But, you know, I don't think I did. I don't know if I did or didn't. But the point being is, okay, so now my father was making, I'm going to guess, $2,500 a year as a policeman, maybe. Now, what if that would have been patented and it would have been a sleazy drug company? I thought they're all sleazy. What could you have charged for that? You could have taken, what would my dad have paid? Half of your salary to get me and Dan vaccinated? Well, Dan probably wasn't around. And 52 was much more of a fear than it was in 56. But what would your mom and dad have paid to get you and your brothers vaccinated? Anything they wanted. So
probably, yeah.
So is there some limit? You know, okay, I've got a cure for pick a disease that whatever, Alzheimer's. Okay. Well, first of all, you don't really want a cure, do you? You want something you have to take every month to maintain it. Because if you just give somebody one pill and they're cured, that's the last thing you want, correct? You want something you got to take for the rest of your life.
Bad business. No repeat business. Yeah,
That's why everybody thought Rogaine was going to be the best thing for people with no hair. Because you had to take it every day. If it worked, and I guess it didn't work so well, but anyway.
Yeah, well, and for those of us who actually care.
Yeah, well, but I'm saying it would have been the world's best drug.
Well, I'm just saying the faster it falls out, the easier my morning gets because I don't have to comb it.
Well, you don't have to worry about hat hair.
I definitely don't have to worry about hat hair.
So
the only time you ever see me in a hat is if I haven't showered that day and I have to run out.
Same thing. But there's a guy at the CBOE used to say, a hat is a day long commitment. Once you put it on, you got to leave it on. Anyway, to this day, we don't have any mechanism that says, all right, you got a cure for something, you got to let us know what the real cost is, and you can only charge, you know, 100 times that, 200 times that, 50 times that. We have no idea, Kevin. And then people actually think, oh, God, do you believe the research? And I understand there's a lot of research, but what's the return? The research is $5 million. Do you get to make, is it $5 million a patient? I mean, where we have no idea, do we? I mean, I don't know the answer. I'm just saying we don't seem to have a clue. And as long as insurance pays for it, we don't seem to care. But
we don't know the answer, except that we do know when the market is competitive, there is price A, and when the market is not competitive, there is price A plus a big percent.
Right. And
so I think we have a good idea of where the profitability model would take the price. In a more competitive market, so could we not cap it there, or is there another way to foster the competition? I don't know. All I do know is I feel the same way about the banks. If you want the benefit of FDIC protection, the FDIC insurance, then you have to. You know, you have to have some constraints on what you can do with the public because you're using public money to guarantee your business.
Right.
Well, do you not have to pay that back somehow, some way in your business practices? And apparently, lately, the answer is no. But it should be yes.
Well, that's right. And then the question is, do you want? I mean, I bring up railroads not just because I was in the business, but everything we talk about and every one of these issues. All you have to do is follow the history of railroads in this country, and everything we talk about is laid out in spades on that timeline. Right, Kevin? I mean, they gave people property to build railroads. All right, you built the railroad. Now there's no roads, right, at this point, so you got the railroad. And now you got a farmer saying, all right, I'm trying to ship my corn to market. How much is it? How much you got? Okay. It's not the answer I'm looking for. I'm looking for like 20 cents a bushel. Now, looks to me like you're going to make a dollar and a half on that bushel. I think I'm charging you $1.40. You know, I mean, so then you ended up with a whole rate bureau in Washington, where if you're going to ship corn 50 miles, guess what? It wasn't the same as if you shipped it 800 miles. You know, it might not have been one-eighth as much, but there were people that said, let's get some logic to this. So if there was a competing railroad, your price wasn't X, and if there wasn't, your price wasn't 10 times X. But, I mean, it's all right there. So you end up with this, you know, massive bureaucracy where you're paying all these people to do all this stuff. And, you know, that was a mess, right? I mean, but it was better than people charging whatever they damn well felt. So that's the way airlines were, too. I mean, you couldn't charge everybody half as much to go from here to L.A. as you did to go from here to DeKalb, which, you know, left their own devices. Airlines knew that.
And I realize we're up against the clock here, so I just want to throw this in because we'll probably drop it after we're done. And that, it's just simply, I don't have faith in the government's ability to do price regulation properly. So maybe the way to do this is to shorten your patent protection period. So you got 5 years to recover your cost.
Well, but what about
after that? Tough luck.
Well, if we did it today, it wouldn't be 17. 17's a long time now.
Yeah.
SP futures up 50 cents. Dow futures up 8. We're very slow this morning. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure.
But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as they do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Blown up by Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Hung. Mr. Kevin O'Neill, Jay-Z on the board. SP Futures down a buck. Chuck, Dow Futures down 2. NASDAQ Futures down 12. Very slow this morning. We've had two mornings in a row where we've been down pretty heavy. We come flying right back, even end up even positive. And yes, we sold off a little bit at the end, but basically, I'm not so sure who's winning here. The people who sell it off in the morning, then basically get a shovel to sun don't shine, but the people who buy it during the day, then it's down again the next morning. Now, this morning we're flat. Oil down 14 cents, 74.82. 10-year yield, like I said before, 3.23. Over in Europe, we've got, slow, but slightly to the downside. DAX down 52.4%. Puts you down 5, call that flat. CAC down 29.6. So, rest of the world markets are not doing so hot. Asia up a little bit here. Nikkei up 36.1%. Shanghai up 1.2%. Hang Seng up 20, call that one flat. Again, oil down 14 cents. Brent down 21. The spread is, I'm going to say, $9.97. There's a real number. 74.82, 84.79. Natural gas up another 5 cents, 3.32. RBOB 2.08. And we've got gold up a whole 40 cents, not going anywhere. Silver up a penny. Jay-Z, what do you have for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. It is now 6:36. So, anyway, enjoy your last super comfortable morning with this 70-degree weather, because tomorrow is going to be a totally different story. We have a high of 74 today and a low of 43, but don't forget your umbrella because there's a 90% chance of rain pretty much all day long. Phoenix is clear and sunny with a high of 83 and a low of 62. In baseball last night, the Red Sox topped their Yankee rivals, ending the game 4-3. Next stop is the American League Championship Series against the Astros. No accidents to report. Back to you.
So, Jay-Z, tomorrow morning when I see you, how many steps will we take before you say I'm cold?
I'll probably text it to you.
God. I wouldn't have thought of that when Kevin showed you how, you know, old I am, that I would have texted. I'm already cold, you're not even here. You know.
I just wanted to throw you a curveball.
Yes, well, it's easy enough to do. Hey, Kevin, there's an interesting article yesterday, and I don't know that, you know, obviously there's... It's sort of interesting to me because by Ann Applebaum of the Washington Post, fake news, Washington Post, has to do with living under the rule of a minority-dominated government. And it's somewhat interesting in that she claims that the Constitution went way out of its way to make sure that the majority could never dominate, and it's basically having the opposite effect, that the minority... now is somewhat in charge of every branch of government, even the court. And it's, I don't know what you do about it, probably nothing. I'm not so sure that, you know, if it needs to be fixed, people will fix it. But it is interesting that, you know, you can sort of say what you want about the Kavanaugh situation, but the fact is it's a triumph of one political party over another. And it's just, she says, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who, God, I just can't, whatever. The White House prepped her tweet was, congratulations, Judge Kavanaugh. Instead of a 6-3 liberal Supreme Court under Hillary Clinton, we now have a 5-4 conservative Supreme Court under President Donald Trump, cementing a tremendous legacy for the president and a better future for America. Okay. And she sort of goes on to say, well, the Senate obviously controls that. And some of these numbers, Kevin, I mean, I don't know what you do to fix it, but he says thanks to the quirks of our Constitution, the vagaries of our politics, the result is that all three branches of the U.S. government are dominated by minorities. In the White House, we have, for the second time in less than two decades, a president did not win the popular vote. Okay, so, you know, he didn't lose by that much, all right. But this one, for many years now, the Senate, our senior legislative body, has been grotesquely out of line, too. The 40 million people who live in California get the same two votes in the Senate as the 740,000 people of Alaska. The 20 million people in New York get the same two votes as the 755,000 creatures up in North Dakota. This is a system created for the 18th century, originally designed to protect smaller states against the larger ones, now is having the opposite effect. The inhabitants of rural America have a far louder voice in Congress than the inhabitants of urban America, well out of proportion to their numbers. This is nowhere just more obvious than the confirmation of the Supreme Court justices, because that now is a lifetime sort of deal. And I don't know what you do about that, Kevin, but to ignore it, I mean, actually, a lot of people on the right think that the guys in the Constitution were spectacularly genius at making our vote worth more than the other guy's vote because we're smarter or something. But the numbers are a little out of line. I don't know what you do, but I don't know that you can have the same. I don't really have a problem, I guess, with the two Senate things, but I probably have a problem saying that the two Senate votes also get you the amount of electoral college votes, you know, type of thing, to where a state with one representative ends up with three electoral college votes, maybe instead of one. I mean, I don't know what to do about it. I mean, I don't know that it needs to be fixed. Not everything you see that looks out of whack needs to be fixed, but it is getting pretty extreme. I don't know, what's your feel from somebody who's on the other side?
Well, first of all, my feel is that a lot of this is sour grapes, so, you know, I look at it that way. But in the larger sense, you know, a lot of the whining about the Electoral College and the 2016 election and the proportions, you know, for instance, if you gave states like California a larger proportion of electoral votes, you would also be giving Wisconsin and Michigan and, you know, a few of those others that that Trump took by upset larger votes. So it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the election anyway. So there is that part of it, and I think it's important to do that. I also think that if you wanted to go by the popular vote, it would probably change voting habits because of people who decide that they're not going to vote, say, in Los Angeles, if you're a conservative, because you are neither going to get anything local nor are you going to get anything national. So I understand that point of view, but I also would say what a nightmare that would be to try and manage the popular vote when you can challenge anything, at least now when someone wants to challenge electoral results or do a recount like they tried to pull off in Michigan and Wisconsin, at least it's local. And of course, you may recall that in Michigan, when we started the recount, when they started to figure out that there were more votes cast for Hillary Clinton than there were votes cast in Genesee County, that they decided they better back off of that one, so they pulled the resource.
Well, I
I know I'm kind of all over the map here, but I just think if you want to work on the proportions, that's fine, but I like the concept as the way it is, that we are not going to take regional, it's more of this. It isn't the tyranny of the big populations states against the little ones. It is more regional value systems, and it's supposed to smooth that out. Now, if you think that the more rural value systems is being imposed on the majorities, well, think of it this way, too. If you went with the conservative point of view that most of this stuff should go to the states, then the more you push to those states, the more they would have the autonomy to go ahead and govern themselves the way they feel like it.
But no, I don't think anybody cares.
Then you're getting and then nobody is imposing anything on anyone else.
I would say that I've freed myself from the liberal part.
if the people in South Dakota want to be conservative, let them, Kevin. I just want them doing it to me.
Yeah, and that's fine, and that would be the traditional conservative point of view.
Not anymore
on this.
Not anymore. I mean,
anymore, everything's all. Let me see. What's the right? Let's go with gorped up. I can salute the not anymore. But as it stands now, if you really wanted to do this according to the framers' vision, what you would really be saying is more stuff goes to the states and let the states govern themselves, and it'd be exactly as you described it, where you don't want anything imposed on you. If you disagree with marriage approach or abortion or any of those kinds of issues, if you have disagreements, let the states sort it out and have their own laws according to what their own people want.
I don't know why
anybody would object to that, but I will tell you, as far as I'm concerned, that was the only issue in the Kavanaugh nomination, and all of the rest of this was, an attempt to undermine it because they're so afraid that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned, and I don't think it will.
Just because people throw that one out there, that's not at all what I'm afraid about. Not at all what I'm afraid about.
Well, I think in a very large degree, it is exactly what a lot of the people who opposed the nomination from the beginning. I think it was the primary concern of most people who opposed that nomination.
Just because
day one, right down to the one Senate office. I'm trying to remember who the senator is who forgot to fill in the blanks when they send out their press release saying that they vehemently opposed, and then it said put name here.
Kevin, just as is my job in a lot of people's minds, or people in financial radio, is when they call up, why is the market moving this way? And you've got to come up with some. Now, some days there actually is a meteor hit New York and 90 million people are dead. Yeah, that's probably the reason why the market's down there. But most days, it might be Jay-Z leaves the can. I mean, right? I mean, so everybody wants a reason to think that this thing is going forward. And Roe versus Wade has been front and center the whole way. I'm not so sure that's true at all. I mean, it certainly isn't to me. I mean, I think that the decisions going forward, big versus small, union versus not, those are the ones I worry about with this guy. I mean, but
who gives a darn about that in Washington?
Well,
I think it's absolutely a Roe versus Wade.
Well, I mean, that's
issue. Has been all along.
If they say it often enough, I'm not so sure you and I should necessarily believe it. SP Futures up 50 cents. Be right back. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control. Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Well, I'm up at Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley. This is Kevin O'Neill, Jay-Z on the board. Kevin, I want to start talking a little bit more about this economy and the interest rates here and where all that stuff's going. But I just kind of finish up on this. I think the point of the article is that I sort of agree with you. I'm not happy with the Electoral College, but I wouldn't go through energy for the rest of my life to change it. If I did change it, I'd probably go with more of the Nebraska model, where every congressional district gets one elector. I'd do something like that, maybe. But the idea that that the Senate is the one that's so, I'm going to say, really out of kilter in terms of the amount of representation that's there. I think the lady's point here is that for that group to turn around and give out lifetime memberships to the Supreme Court, you run the risk of really having, the opinion of some people, especially when people are living longer and longer, and they seem to be putting them on the Supreme Court younger and younger. I mean, if the conservatives get two more like 45-year-old people on here, I mean, you could be, 40 years from now, the country could be 80% pro-abortion, and these guys are still going the other way. I mean, the numbers, in other words, her point is you don't want the most ridiculously represented spot, the Senate, now being the place that gets to put people in for life. I mean, if there is somewhat of a disconnect between the population and a House of Congress, it's probably not the place you want appointing people to yet almost an equally powerful third branch for life. You really multiply it. And if she was on the other foot, I think most conservatives would feel the same way. I mean, it's a little too much, in my opinion. I don't know how you change it, but I don't think you do. But I still think it's a little too much.
Well, I understand that point. I really do, and that's fine. But nobody on the left had a problem when Ruth Bader Ginsburg was appointed.
Well, neither did the right. What'd she get, 90 some votes? What was her approval when she went in, like 92-4 or something? Nobody did.
Oh yeah, because there was a time when we looked and we said, is this judge qualified? And that was the criterion we used. Now instead, we launch smears at them instead.
Well, we also okay. The reason why you launch smears is because the court is now totally political. I mean, you have the president's press secretary saying we are now in control of the Supreme Court 5-4. I mean,
yeah, I hear that, but is that cause for the tactics we saw?
I think that I don't like the tactics, Kevin. I think that the at some I believe the lady. I believe, I for sure believe that this is not a person I particularly would like. Doesn't make him that qualified. Okay? And I hope that he ends up doing a good job, and people change, you know? And he certainly has changed. He's not the same guy.
He's got a history on the bench. Nobody had a complaint about him, you know, being partisan, being in any way rude, impolite, or unreceptive to any point of view. So, I mean, that's there. That's real.
Okay. When was the last time he... everything I've read about his record is that it was okay. He's bright, but that the union's never going to win. Big company's never going to lose. Okay, and I have a problem with that.
You know what? I fall into the was it Robert? I think it was Roberts who, in his testimony, said they asked about big guy and little guy, or you know, union. He said, as far as he's concerned, and this is what I would want to see, is I'm on. If the law says the little guy is supposed to win, then the little guy will win. If the law says the big guy is supposed to win, the big guy will win. It is not, you know, you're kind of doing that same thing as you're saying it's a big guy, little guy, and the little guy needs to win more often. Well, may be a fine philosophy, but then isn't that really a legislative issue judicial issue?
No, what I'm saying is the legislature has basically denuded themselves for whatever reason.
They have. Most of what they've done there is surrendered their authority to the executive branch.
My point has been all along here, and I've yet to... I'm not saying I win very many arguments against my esteemed colleagues because I put good people on here because you're not supposed to win all the time, right? If you got people that are real smart, they have an opposite point of view, guess what? They're going to win once in a while, maybe more than once in a while. But my point on this, Kevin, is... You can't look me in the eye and say that you're going to be true to the Constitution and the forefathers when you're talking about monopolies and corporations when there weren't any back in those days. You can't tell me that it's in the Constitution. You can't tell me that in the Constitution it says that they anticipated Kevin O'Neill spending $90 bazillion on the right and the left when Kevin lives in Michigan for a representative race in Utah. You can't tell me they anticipated that because they didn't. You know, I'm just, those kinds of decisions are coming totally out of political realm.
The wisdom there was that they created a mechanism for, you know, called the legislature, and B, as it pertains to constitutionality, they created a mechanism for changing it. And that change is a real consensus-based change, which is exactly what you're advocating, is that it's not just a majority or a minority. It takes a genuine consensus amongst the American people to make a change, and that is as it should be. And as we know, you know, what have I told you? It's like six times in my lifetime that we actually have amended the Constitution.
Okay, but
it's been a while.
But where are we going to amend it?
There's a way to do this.
Where are you going to amend it? How are you going to amend it to determine whether or not Comcast gets to buy the remaining satellite, so your cable bills double even from where they are? Where's that in there?
It's not in there. That's in the legislature. That's just not properly enforced.
No,
it's
going to go to the Supreme Court, and they're going to say, "Well, gee, you let the other guys foolishly buy the other one. Now you got to let me." Well, God, you know, this is just business. These guys get to be monopolists if they want to be. Okay. I mean, I'm saying...
Has that actually been argued that way in front of the Supreme Court?
What I'm saying is these things come down on political lines, Kevin. It's not like you're going to see Ruth Bader Ginsburg and who's the other two ladies, the Hispanic lady, on opposite sides of a union versus other issue. It's not going to happen.
Well, that's a shame because it should
it
be
shame.
An interpretation of the law than what I want the outcome to be.
What I'm saying is but that's not
what's
happening.
Always part of the battle is people want to put judges on the court who will engineer an outcome for them rather than interpret the law.
And those people are ones sitting in the White House. Here's your friend.
Well, the people used to sit in the White House in the last administration too, and the one before it. So if we want to fix it, it's an overhaul. It is not, you know, it is not a current issue, and that I think is the problem with some of these articles that are being written about the, you know, the tyranny of the minority. Is you know, they were fine with it when their point of view was being represented.
It's Kevin, I'm in the middle here. I just think.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm arguing with the author of the article.
I just think it's wrong. I think, what you said earlier, and the only thing I will push back on, you sound like the two knuckleheads in the health club. That the only person who's incented to not vote is a conservative in California. Why is a liberal not incented to not vote in California? What does his vote count for either? And the idea that somehow or another more conservatives would vote if this wasn't this way rather than liberals, I mean, that's insane. How do you know who's not voting, what side they're on?
Did I say it was the only one, or did
no,
I
No, but you
it,
mentioned it as an example.
An example.
Yes. Well, I'm going to say, why should I get my dead ass off the sofa and walk down the block and vote Democratic in Illinois when I know they're going to win? I do anyway. Why, I don't know, because all the local races are unopposed. But let's not go into Illinois, Kevin. By the way, if we deal with Illinois, I'm going to agree with you 100% on everything. if I thought Illinois was about...
On Friday, let's talk about the Arizona assistant basketball coach.
Yeah.
Whose trial has started this
week.
There's a lot of dicey stuff.
Wow, that's crazy stuff. Hey, buddy, you have a terrific week. What about this hurricane? Yikes. And it's headed right for South Carolina after it goes here. These people in South Carolina like moon the big guy upstairs or what? They need more rain.
It could be. As long as I'm not headed for South Bend, what do I care? I'm an insensitive SOB.
What do you mean? The Irish got the new field now. It's not grass. They don't care if it rains.
Yeah, I guess so.
Take care, buddy. SP Futures down 2, right. Dow Futures down 11. Come back with Mr. Russell Rhodes.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTIsecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTIsecurities.com. That's John@PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, I'm going to pay Stocks and Jacks. That's my name, Mr. Russell Rhodes. Dr. Russell Rhodes, I guess, is almost... Well, he's almost...
I'm not there yet.
Well, how soon are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm sitting in my hotel room in New York.
So can you give somebody a shot of penicillin in the behind? Oh, no, you're not that kind of doctor.
No, not that kind of doctor. Yeah, I actually had to explain that last night.
Oh, God. To who?
Not that... I was at a book signing event, not my book, and was trying to explain the difference between a PhD and a regular doctor.
Oh, God.
I know.
S&P futures down 6. We're starting to leak here a little bit. Dow futures down 31. NASDAQ futures down 34. I went to one of Dr. J's book signing, and there was kind of a line, so a bunch of people just came over and said, how about you sign it? I said, okay.
He was on my flight coming over to New York Monday morning.
Well, that's cool.
I had a nice chat with him. Monday was the first time that I have not been upgraded flying this year. And, I felt better about it when I saw he wasn't either.
Jan was in coach?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
First row of coach, but yeah.
Wow.
I saw the red beret all the time from way back in the peanut gallery.
Wow. Something must have happened.
I know. It must have been like a last second he just showed up.
You know what? He's been going. I think he's been going on one of those...
He has been going on the private thing, so I don't,
So maybe he's lost his...
I didn't ask him his personal details on that. We talked about a few other things.
Well, maybe he lost his status.
I doubt that. I doubt it. I don't know. They've been messing with me, too. I don't know what's going on there. I'll say one negative thing about American, and then they'll start treating me really nice again. So maybe I'll use my bully pulpit from here
God. Hey, I have a question is, we've got mortgage rates moving through 5% in some areas, and we've got the 10-year going someplace. As much as you have a couple of guys that were around from the old days when this was before, how can you possibly, even when I talk to people that are homes for sale and people in the real estate industry, how do you try to tell people what it feels like to be in the pool with water all around you and being wet when you're on the side of the pool? How can you even describe what all this stuff that happens? I mean, we were talking about the tyranny of the minority and majority with Kevin, and I got to be the only person in the world who thinks all this stuff kind of matches together, but it is interesting. It appears to me, now again, you're the soon-to-be PhD in economics, that when we had the crash in 2007, 2008, in virtually everything, houses, stock prices, you name it, that a decision was made, we need to blow up asset prices again. Because the wealthy people, don't get me wrong, the biggest cure for a house that goes from $300,000 to $150,000 is to somehow have the house be worth $250,000 again, right? It's better than $150,000, I get that. So, as the Onion said, America desperately looking for a new bubble. I mean, that was the headline. How appropriate. So, okay, we basically sucked money out of savers and so forth, and we pumped asset prices back up. And now we've got this, we're starting to creep the other way because these rates are going up. And no matter how you cut it, with the rates being down here, it's given everybody I'm going to say, and this is one man's opinion, Russell. I'm asking for a criticism. It's given everybody comfort in what they do. In other words, it's given the city of Pales Park comfort in knowing that people are getting a 3% mortgage in raising their property taxes, 30% in 4 years, because to pay for some bleep's pension or whatever, or just normal expenses, whatever it is. I'm not saying everybody has pension issues, but the only way we all do, but it's giving them comfort. Now all of a sudden, the price of that home, his mortgage rates reach 5%, and the taxes are now 30, 40, 50% more than they were 5 years ago in some of these areas. And you look at the mortgage, the payment going higher, plus everybody says their insurance costs have gone up, that all of a sudden, that the only piece of silly putty going to move is the price of that home down. And I think that people are not used to that calculation, and they're not ready for it. I don't think. I mean, people in the real estate industry that I talk to clearly are not ready for it. I mean, they're not.
They weren't ready for it last time.
Well, right. But I'm saying now it's...
They really weren't, because you would ask them about it. We would hear things, in our business, and then you talk to a real estate agent, oh, no, everything's absolutely wonderful. Now, I don't know if they were, talking their book, but I felt like they were genuinely believing that things were better than... And maybe they're just always conditioned to say things are better.
Well, you're always going to say...
That might be part of it right there.
Yeah, but you're going to say, how's PhD school? And you're going to say, fine. Well, who the hell knows if it's fine? You might hate your current instructor, but you're not going to say, oh, God, I can't stand this guy. I mean, it's like there was a commercial where you say, how you doing? Yeah. Fine. And one guy actually starts reporting on his trip from the airport. And everybody looks at him like, I didn't actually want to hear anything. I just wanted to hear it's okay, right?
Oh, you never want to ask me how I'm doing, because I know the truth all the time.
You remind me of the guy in the commercial. Where the guy's...
Yeah, you really don't want an answer to that. It's a common one for me.
But, I mean, there's somebody we know, a contributor.
I just don't think I think there is a realization that the housing market's going to at least top out. I think there's a belief that it's not going to, turn and come back to the downside, that maybe it's just going to level off, and we'll see if that ends up being the case. I don't know if we have the same catalyst to take the price of houses down, because I don't know if we have as many people that have gotten into houses that they really can't afford.
Well,
we did before, because the situation's different now. You can't finish college, and I had students that were finishing college, and the first thing they were doing was, instead of renting, they were buying a house with that teaser rate, because they thought they'd be making a lot more money in 3 years and it would be okay. And if not, they'd just sell it for a higher price.
Right.
And they were getting approved for loans, even though they'd only worked at, like Chipotle and stuff. I don't think they're doing that anymore. So, the housing prices have gone back up. I don't think they've gone up as quickly, and you don't hear the silliness that you used to hear. But I also don't think that there's a group of people that are just going to walk away from their houses like we had before.
I think they're walking away from their houses now because of the taxes in Illinois.
Well, I could see that.
That
becomes a regional thing, not a not a macro or across the whole.
Well,
country,
but it, if it, it
but I could totally under trust me, I could totally understand that.
Well, I'm going to say if
where I live.
No, I'm going to say if my theme is. It all hangs together. If you lower taxes in Washington, or think you do, and you shove, for instance, more Medicaid back to the state and say I'm not helping out, it's going to pop out here. I mean, it's like silly putty. I mean, it's going to pop out someplace. But the thing that I'm concerned about, and with you being the professor, I can bitch at you. One of the contributors to the show, good friend of mine, he has a home in, I'm going to say, near North. What's the River North? Not Lincoln Park, somewhere between downtown and where I live. And I'm going to say his home price, I have no idea what the hell it is, okay? But he gets his letter from the county or whatever, and basically his taxes went up 30%. And now if you put that letter next to this headline this morning, the concern I have, even with this fellow, and he's got, a law degree, and I think he's got an MBA as well, we've lost the reflex action. It's almost like if you If you live in a world, in an area where all they have is garter snakes, you lose the reflex actions to jump away when you see a snake, and you better get that reflex action back when you're in Arizona, and it might be a rattler, shall we say. What I'm saying, it didn't immediately pop into his mind like it did mine. Uh-huh. Like it did mine. My friend, if your place is worth $450, it's now worth $375. I mean, the thought never crossed his mind. And yet, for me, it absolutely did, because that's what I grew up in, that world, with high interest rates and those kinds of things, and everything that goes right through the... I mean, you don't understand. If you mentally thought your place was worth $450 yesterday, it ain't worth $450 today, buddy. And I think he'd argue with me that it would be. And yet it isn't. People can only pay what they can pay.
The demand that's going to make it worth $450 is just not there anymore.
Well, but even so.
You're basically coming up with a shrinking demand pool because it's more... You know, I actually, in the corporate finance class I teach, I was talking about, we were talking about whether you finance projects or not. And I said, think of it this way. If you guys finish school and your parents give you $50,000, good job, go out into the world, and you get a job that you need a car, you may just use some of that money and buy the car outright. So you're only thinking about what the car costs. You're not really... I said, whereas, if you're going to take out a loan and you know how much money you make a month, you're actually going to think about it in respect of how much can I make in payments, and then you're going to back into what kind of car you could buy. The payments are going to be higher today than they were a week ago for a house. So the number of people that he possibly has to buy his house are shrinking. The thing is, if it's a soft market, maybe he's just not going to sell his place.
No, I guess
about selling his place right now.
Yeah,
10, 12 years ago. I used to hang out with this guy that was an Evergreen Park cop. He quit being a police officer to flip houses in 2006, and he did okay for about 6 months or so. That's the part that I don't think is going on right now.
Well, the low hanging fruit there is gone.
You don't have people thinking about the value of their house based on what can I get for it tomorrow, because that's how I'm trying to grow my wealth right now. So the speculative part of the trading part, we'll just call it trading. We'll just say people aren't trading houses like they were when this happened before. But I think your point's more about the interest rate conditions that anybody that's not over, I guess, even 40 maybe, isn't really familiar with. And we're starting to tick higher in interest rates, and it's holding this time. It looked like they were going up back in the spring, but we're repeating that, but it's continuing higher. And that's just going to, I think that's just going to slow down the turnover of the market, but not necessarily crash that market like it did before.
Well, people look at home ownership in the terms of the price of the house. Okay, and what I'm saying is that's always been, I won't say wrong, I'll say incorrect. It should be the payment stream. This house is worth $4,000 a month. It's worth $3,500 a month. It's worth $2,000 a month. And now, that includes your mortgage payment, either real or implied. It includes your taxes, includes your insurance, correct? And I guess some sort of your water bill and all the other crap that goes with it. That's what you can afford, all in. If the mortgage rates come down, like they have been for 8 years, so you get an ease on that piece of the mortgage rate, all right? At the same time, your local municipality or state takes advantage of that. So you're into this house for $4,000 8 years ago. And all of a sudden you can refinance your mortgage lower to where the $4,000 now becomes $3,500, and you're happy as a pig in slop, as they say. And the state makes up the $500 with taxes, okay? And now that the rates are going back up again, you may be okay because you refinance, but the person now who's going to come buy the place, they can only afford the same $4,000 that you can. The only variable that's liable to move, that is capable of moving, is the price of the house, and it's down. Correct? Because the taxes aren't moving, you can't do much with the interest rate, but the person coming in is not Russell. It's Russell's, I'll use the term, nephew, who's the same age, the same income you were when you bought your place 8 years ago. But now the inroads are, the taxes are higher and something else higher. He can afford the same $4,000. The only person that's going to take that hit is you, because that price of the only variable that can move is down. Now, to me, when I learned this stuff, this was second nature. It's not anymore because people.
No, we're having to explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm having to. You know, I try to. We've talked about this multiple times. Yeah. I make a concerted effort to explain this to the young brain pods that I talk to at Loyola. You guys have never seen this, and I take examples from when you and I have these discussions to let them understand what's going on or what will happen in their lifetime. I'm not telling them I know exactly when, but what will happen. You want to know another funny thing about your property taxes that's going to make your head spin? I love making your head spin early.
It's easy to do. Easy to do.
Well, at least from my experience on the school board, you know how they figure out how much they can raise your property taxes? Year over year CPI.
Yeah.
So I know it's not a real measure, but if we do, and it's going to be the December number, at least out where I live, if we do actually start to get, we'll call it the government inflation. If we do start to get some government inflation in the next couple of months, that's gonna be a double whammy as well. But it's not. I'm agreeing with you on this stuff. It's just I don't think we're gonna have the same experience we had the last time the housing crashed, because it's not the same sort of speculative bubble.
No, I don't think it is either. But when people listen to people who don't give the whole story, they're getting bad advice. I mean, I listen to the people saying that, well, when rates get to 4%, people are going to make changes in terms of they might get out of some stocks and put it in a fixed, in a risk-free assets. Well, first of all, I think that is exceptionally ignorant, because people make these decisions every day. I mean, there's going to be somebody, we have clients here that in the last few months, for the first time in a while, we've gone for people to the Treasury bond auction. So, I mean, at PTI, believe it or not, we still care about our clients. And instead of, my brother Dan refuses, but if somebody wants to do it, we'll do it, refuses to go to the open market and buy like a six-month T-note, or was it a six-month note or a bill? I should know that. He goes to the auction. He says, we get a better price at the auction. There's a bid and ask spread there, and you don't want to pay the ask when you're only talking about something for 6 months, and you're talking about a 2.3% rate. You might piss your rate down to 2. So we're going to go at the auction, and we're going to get the real price. So, I mean, we'll do that for people. I mean, I don't know who else does, but maybe people do. But I'm saying, we've already done that for a few people. So to say no one is going to do that until we get to 4%, if you got somebody with a $5 million account and he's got $3 million sitting there in cash, and we're not paying, when I say we, RBC, our clearing firm, is not paying that, the first thing I'm going to do is say, Russell, hey, buddy, do you want to put this in the market here? Do you want me to do something with it? Nah, Tom, let's wait 6 months. Okay, well, let's buy a six-month bill. What are we leaving at RBC for? I mean, it's obviously the T-bill still at RBC. But don't tell me that nobody's going to do that until it's 4%. The fact is, it's like saying nobody's going to change
no,
their...
Somebody's doing it.
Yeah, somebody's doing it. And along the line, you're going to get more people that are going to do it at 4% than at 3%. That part I get. But don't say it hasn't started already. It already has.
No, it does. People definitely... You don't have a lot of good choices, but... if you're going to park cash, you're going to park it for a very, very low interest rate.
We got 2.4.
I met with some Bitcoin people here in New York on my trip, and we were discussing one of the ways that they go about they've got a token sale that they're doing, and one of the ways, and they're not charging any fees and a bunch of other things. But they are actually putting the money they take into a interest bearing account, and they're not making a whole lot, but they're making very little off of a very high dollar amount.
So that is figuring into their business plan, even though the interest rate's very low. It's probably going to work better for them in the future. There are people parking money in cash. I just don't think they think of it as getting a return. All of a sudden, when you start actually thinking of it as, hey, I can get a return on this, people are going to be I shouldn't say more aggressive about cash, but be more willing to go into cash.
Interesting about the Bitcoin. I mean, I honestly believe as governments start taking cash out of people's hands, which is a big part of your freedom. You might say, what do you mean, only drug dealers need? No, the fact is, it is a big part of your freedom, I think. I mean,
ability to go buy something without anybody knowing what you just bought, regardless of what it is.
Well, I don't think it's I should be able to park in front of the Tripoli and not have to use my credit card. So if I was married, my wife doesn't need to know I stopped for a beer. I mean, not like I don't want to tell her, or if I asked, I would lie. I wouldn't. Fact is, it's on a need to know basis. You don't need to know. If I bet you $20 that the Bears are going to win Sunday and I lose, I want to be able to give you the $20. I don't want to have to put it on my Visa card. Because, would you give this $20 to Russell?
You don't want a record of it.
No.
You don't want a record of, lots of, non-illegal things. If you want to, if you've got a nephew that needs a little extra money and you don't want to let your wife know that you're slipping them some cash, it's just stuff like that,
Well,
it is imposing on a freedom.
And I,
if everything we do can be tracked like that.
And why? Why does somebody need to know?
It's not as anonymous as people think it is.
Well, and yet everybody will say, if you talk to even people on regular people, because I think I'm going to bring back a term from my youth. I think we get brainwashed.
Of course we do. You get brainwashed by the first thing you hear.
Well, like Kevin was saying earlier,
Bitcoin is used to buy drugs and traffic people.
Kevin was saying,
forever for that one to get passed.
Well, but Kevin was mentioning that the Kavanaugh thing is all about Roe versus Wade. And I said, Kevin, that's because everybody on TV kept telling you it was all about Roe versus Wade, and I'm thinking it's not at all about Roe. Anyway,
they're not going to hear that case.
Right, I agree. So
they're not. It's the way I said that. Actually, my daughter, who you've met, asked me about that. My 14-year-old asked me about that when I was driving her from one place to another on Sunday, which is the only time that she's talking to me these days for some reason. And she asked me about that, and I said, the thing is, a lot of things. It's not like he shows up and he says, hey, I don't want to overturn this. A lot of things have to happen, and if cases are not filed and things don't start to go through the court, then the Supreme Court's never going to say anything about it. I will bet you, and we're going to bet cash so the government doesn't know it, I'll bet you $1,000 that they don't hear an abortion case in the next 5 years. I think it's not going to be an issue. I don't think it will make it to the Supreme Court because it is, when they ask nominees about it, they'll say, what's really funny is if you got a liberal guy and you ask him and he says, that's case law, it's the law of the land, they're going to go, oh, that's great. And if a conservative guy says, well, it's case law, that is the law of the land now, which I believe Kavanaugh said, they're like, oh, he's lying. He's going to overturn it. It's the rule.
I might push back a little on that one.
I don't see him changing that one.
No, but you know what I think, and this, actually Kevin brought this up, and I think there's going to be some pushback someplace on the details, because it appears when Roe versus Wade was put through, the amount of time, which you can, again, I know, I'm not onto this subject. But the amount of time, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that you hear, you because of the advancements in medical science, you're starting to see a kind of a confliction between the last day that you can have an abortion and the day the fetus actually can survive. So I wouldn't be a bit surprised that you don't see something like nothing after 3 months or 4 months or something.
I think it's late term.
Yeah, I think you might see. I don't know. But anyway, my point on what you were mentioning earlier, Matty Weber, who knows a lot about this because he works for a company that does essentially credit card fraud investigations and procedures for people that if you take credit cards, you're going to have a firm like Maddie's, and there's two or three of them out there that help you out with your credit card security and stuff. And Maddie will tell you, and Maddie knows about this, 85%, he thinks, of all the money stolen in this country now is stolen online. And yet, and yet, if you talk to people about cash, that's where all the crooks are. No, they're not. No, they're not. I mean, it's the online fraud. I've never heard of anybody. There's everybody in my business. If you talk to them, have they ever had a situation where somebody hacked into your system and got money out of somebody's account? Right. I know some people that contribute to the show. Somebody hacked into their internal emails. Like if you were my CFO, where I sent you a memo saying send Jay-Z a check on our internal stuff. And there's people that I know that that's happened to them internally. I mean, every person has a story. And yet, not one of those people said I ever got bonked on the head and somebody took $100 out of my wallet and walking down the street. You know, I mean, it's not even close. the actual amount of money that's stolen online. And yet, your police departments on every level are like 98% don't even go after that kind of crime, and nobody does. It's just allowed to happen. And yet people will tell you, oh no, you gotta get rid of cash because that's where the crime is. No, it's not. I mean, don't, you know, what is it? Don't pee on my shoes and tell me it's raining? I mean, come on.
There's crime going on in both.
Yeah.
Places.
Oh yeah, don't disagree.
Yeah. And I don't think that the rise of the crypto stuff has really facilitated as much extra criminal activity. I think the criminal activity.
Russell, hold that thought, buddy.
What you're talking about?
You and I are going to design a cryptocurrency that actually works. S&P futures down 650, Dow futures down 30, Nasdaq down 34. Be right back. Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, if they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with John Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. It might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456, or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI ProDirect. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Welcome to Big Stocks and Jocks. She's leaking, Captain. She's leaking. We came in, everything was unchanged. That's Sony Moore. S&P futures down 975, Dow down 76, NASDAQ down 48. PPI just came out, a raise of 0.2 as expected. Anyway, that's the number, 0.2. Just saying.
You're not going to beat up on the number?
Not until after I get done with Traffic Weather Sports. DAX down 82 now, 0.7%. FTSE down 5, still call that one flat. CAC around down 43.8%. Over in Asia, we're pretty quiet. Nikkei up 36.1%. Hang Seng up 4. You guys have had two like mildly corrective days to the up day after the 4% down day on Monday because they were closed last week. So it's been an odd week for those guys. Hang Seng up 20. Call that one flat as well. Oil down 18 cents. Brent down 21. Natural gas now up 7 cents today. Russell, why did you tell me to buy this natural gas like 2 weeks ago? I'd be rich, for God's sake. I mean, what about a 3 or 4 lot in that contract that you could like take the rest of the life off? Arbob gas 2.07. Gold down $2. Cannot get out of its own way. Why can't gold be doing what natural gas is doing? I mean, because I own gold, I guess. That's probably why. Jay-Z, what do you got for us, Traffic Weather Sports?
A lot.
Oh, God.
Good morning, everyone.
There's a lot of weather out there today?
Actually, it's really nice outside right now, but predictions do not say that it's going to stay that way. Anyway, good morning, everyone. The time is now 7:35. Chicago has a high of 74 today and a low of 43. But don't forget your umbrella because there's a 90% chance of rain starting around 10 a.m. till the end of the day. Phoenix is clear and sunny with a high of 83 and a low of 62. In baseball last night, the Red Sox beat their Yankee rivals, ending the game 4-3. Next up is the American League Championship Series against the Astros. In traffic, we have an accident on the right shoulder of the Eisenhower, stopping traffic just before 25th Avenue. That is all. Back to you.
Blues are down 12, so we're taking on water here from someplace. We're not exactly sure where. So, Russell, you were saying we were... I was saying that, why doesn't somebody, if we think there needs to be an alternative currency worldwide, you know, I'm not saying I do, but some people do, why don't they just do a regular currency with some value someplace where somebody, you know, invests in, you know.
You mean like a global currency?
Where there's oil or there's some gold or a combination of oil, silver, gold, and in vault someplace and people just.
Oh, gosh. Back on the gold standard would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm just saying something.
At least it would keep things in check. But they tried a mini experiment around that called the euro, and that hadn't worked all that well. So I think localized currency is pretty good. Yeah, eventually we'll probably reach the point where there's some sort of right now the U.S. dollar is kind of the common link of all different currencies. It will shift to something else. The Chinese would love it if it were their currency. I don't think that one's going to happen. They'll probably try to come up with something, and it probably won't even be in our lifetime. But over the long term, you got to figure we're going to go in that direction.
Well, do you think
it won't be the Bitcoin either?
Well, without getting into a Trump discussion, although everything seems to roll that way these days. There appears to me, the group he's with, the alligators that he's decided to sleep with, are a little bit like the isolationists before World War I and World War II. Not
nobody's ever the same or to the same degree, but we don't seem to want to project as much other than getting fair deals, meaning we have trade surpluses. He really doesn't seem to have that much interest in a lot of areas. I mean, he's not that mm-hmm. concerned about checking Soviet advances. Doesn't really seem all that. He obviously doesn't want North Korea to drop a nuke on anybody. That part, I think he's pretty strong on. But I don't think he really gives a rat's behind if China exerts a little more influence. I mean, I don't think he wants them to shut a sea lane, but it's not like we're going to go back to 16 aircraft carriers and have somebody over there all the time. And I mean, we seem mm-hmm. like our if you look at our actions, they're louder than our words. I mean, we're not going to support NATO to the extent we were, you know, money wise or you know, and all those kinds of things. I mean, does it seem over the next 25 years that the dollar maintains its cachet, that's basically the only currency you can trade oil in, and yet we're kind of working at our own. We're, you know, we have the same administration trying to drive Iran down to not you know, exporting one barrel of oil. Yet at the same time we don't want the price of oil going up, which to me is like, how can I learn how to swim and stay dry? I mean, how do you do that? I mean, especially we know Venezuela is going down a rat hole in our hemisphere, so it's.
There's going to be less places to get that stuff from.
Yeah, so these things do not seem to match up to me. I mean, and to think mm-hmm. that you're going to put pressure on Saudi to all of a sudden pop out more oil at 60, but I think Saudi's got their spigots open as far as they can right now because they need the money. So, I mean, it seems like there's a lack of coordination to the policy that I wonder if it goes like that for the next 15 years. What does the world look like if they can't look to us for this kind of stuff? I'm not saying I want to be the person who's a world policeman, but wherever we're not, it sure seems like things screw up. I mean, mm-hmm. am I right or not?
We're like playing a whack-a-mole policy.
Yeah.
Where we're just, you know, whichever one happens to pop up at the moment, that's the one that we're focusing on. And, you know, it might be by design where, in I think we've talked about this as well, where it seems like, you know, maybe the different talking points are being timed going up, you know, leading up to the election. You know, look what I think he went to Iowa yesterday and said, all right, we're going to increase the use of ethanol, which is going to be great for all you farmers. And, you know, I think that's what they're doing, is they're taking a look at what's going to be a good talking point and what's going to keep the base happy enough to keep him in office in 2020.
Well, why would you?
I do think that, kind of like, you know, just back to his experience as a reality TV star, you know, they kind of planned out the whole pattern of the little contest that they had their apprentice contestants go through. I wouldn't be surprised if they mapped out, you know, here's how we're going to, you know, here's how things are going to run over the next 2 years leading up to this major event, which is an election, and how we're going to, you know, we're going to jack the economy through tax cuts. I actually heard somebody say that they think the economy is going to get a big boost over the following couple of years because they're going to increase a lot of the spending. So, you know, I think they're trying to engineer an awful lot of stuff, but they're engineering it in a very narrow way.
Well, what do you think? This is on a Jay-Z, I'd love your younger person's opinion on this. And I'm going to lob this one out there. I got a question. I mean, if we have any listeners, I'm going to say even with President Bonesboro, which everybody hates when I say that, the man probably lies 70% of the time. Yet nobody in this country, and nobody maybe even in this world, you're just not set up mentally or whatever, to everybody you're talking to. I mean, Russell, you and I go back a ways, not years and years and years, but if I'm set up mentally that if you walk in and you say, it's raining outside, I don't ask to see whether your shoes are wet. I just assume mm-hmm. you're telling the truth. Why would
right.
you? Why wouldn't you? And by the way, if you were president, I'd probably feel the same way. So if I'm an Iowan, and somebody walks out, the president shows up at my, you know, school gymnasium and says he's going to help the ethanol people, and I'm a guy who grows corn, I'm probably going to walk out feeling pretty good. But yet, if you look back at the man's record, When he walks out of there, he has no more no more concern about you and your ethanol than I do the dog poop on the street. And I'm being a little harsh here, but you're just not set up to think everything is lying. Bill Clinton was a master at that. I mean, I'm not saying people learn. Some people seem to learn that you can tell people what they want to hear. They'll never check you on it, and boy, it's going to be to your advantage forever. Some people, you know, a man, he hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. Was that Paul Simon? I mean, at some level, you got to sit there and say, I'm not going to listen to this guy's BS anymore. Or any politician, not just his. I mean, Rahm Emanuel. I'm all for this. No, you're not. we care about the black neighborhoods on the south side. We care about them emptying out so we can take over the land. We don't care about the people. I mean, give me a break. Your actions, there's gambling here. You're winning, sir. I mean, at some point, how does it affect you and me if every single time somebody says something, you immediately think they're BSing you? I mean, imagine what life would be like if everybody walked by and said, "Yeah, the beer in this bar is cold," and I immediately assume I got to order ice. I mean, if I actually thought the opposite of everything, I mean, how would your day go if every time somebody said something, you immediately thought they were telling you something wrong? And yet the people who do it seem to have
to go work somewhere else.
Well,
married to somebody else or whatever.
Yeah, you'd be really unproductive.
It'd just be a tough way to go through life.
But we have politicians on both sides of the aisle that have made an entire career out of it. Does anybody believe anything Mitch McConnell says? Did anybody believe anything Harry Reid said? Why would you? And yet these people managed to make huge careers out of it. And if you and I did it once, nobody talked to us.
Yeah. I mean, because they have a base of people that they're little sheeple that follow them around. And, you know, they've got to continuously pander to that. And then when election time comes around, they maybe soften their tone a little bit and go and visit some people that are in the middle, get enough of them to vote for them, and then continue on for the next 5.5 years behaving in that way.
Hey, Jay-Z, we got a tweet from Kevin.
Yep. Okay. Kevin says that he'll take your bet, Russell. He says Roe won't be overturned, but there will be cases about when abortion is allowed. We're up to 20% survival rate and improving without impairment at 22 to 24 weeks. Limitations at this stage is where the cases will be. And then he provided a link if you want to check it out.
I think Kevin's right. By the way, I said that. He obviously doesn't think I said it.
You did.
I didn't say it good enough, evidently.
Yeah. And then Kevin said exactly what you wanted to hear, so you're agreeing with him.
What I'm saying is there's going to be, I think there's going to be some, I mean, this, in taking the bet, I think there's going to be some state laws that cut back on the timing of it that might make it up to the Supreme Court and win. That it might be nothing after 18 weeks or 16 weeks or something. I think something like that is very possible. I mean, I agree with you. The full yes or no will not come in front of them, or they won't hear it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
So you still want to bet?
Wow, I'm gonna have to go. Sure, I got a lot of money.
God. okay, Randolph Duke. I mean, $1.
$1.
I could see you.
And anyway, with the way inflation's going, in 5 years, $1,000 ain't going to be all that much.
That's true. Well, you know what? See, in my day, when I first broke into the business, not my day, it's still my day. Hopefully, if somebody would have said, "I'll give you $100,000 in 10 years," you'd almost say, "Keep it." When interest rates were 12%, because you'd look back. So how much is that really worth now? Like $8,000 or something?
Well, yeah.
You know, thanks a lot, buddy. correct? I mean, I could see you giving the guy who at the club $5. Remember he gave the African-American guy $5? He goes, "I'll go to the movie by myself. Thank you."
By myself? That was from both of us.
Yeah, that was from both of us. Anyway, well, that's why a lot of rich people have money. They don't spend it. They're a little tight, shall we say.
They don't know what to do with it.
What do you make? I got an interesting article here for people. I think it might be too late. It's never, I guess, too late. But there's an article here in Bloomberg, and I always love to talk about this because it's not really on the tip of my tongue. If people can guess, I'm more of a market trader than I am individual stocks, even though we got a whole bunch of individual stocks. It's an article written by Lily Katz and Michael Belushi. Not pronounced the same way as B B-L-U-S.
The third Belushi brother?
No, it's a U-S-C-I. How does Belushi sound?
Okay.
But it has to do with a bunch of stocks that may or not do well or not with this hurricane. Because this Hurricane Michael, by the way, we haven't talked about, is pushing a Category 4. Evidently, the Gulf might...
My grandmother is in the path, and I texted her, and I haven't heard back.
Wow. Well,
I know. Just the fact that I have a grandmother should kind of freak you out.
Yeah, well. Well, at least
99. She's the oldest living Marine in Florida, the second oldest living female or Marine in the United States.
Wow, good for her.
Yeah.
Was she the wife of a Marine? Or was she a Marine?
We're keeping an eye on that other. No, she's maternal. Or she's my.
I know, but was she the wife of a Marine or a Marine?
No, she was a Marine back in World War II, man.
They had women as Marines, or was she a Marine nurse or something?
Yep. She was, she was not up on the lines, but she was, she went to officer school, and yep.
Oh, so she was a Marine. She was eligible for the GI Bill and everything. I think a lot of ladies were.
No, she was.
Oh, good for her.
Gam was. She's, looking at her, she's doing great at 99.
Wow.
I'm going to live forever, man.
Well, but she didn't smoke pipes and wear cardigans.
That's true. Yeah, she lived a much harder life than I did. I'll probably live to 130.
Yeah, just what I was thinking. Anyway, insured losses should be manageable and have minimal impact on property insurance pricing. So you don't have to worry so much about regular insurance companies. And I'm not so sure when regulars end and the reinsurers start. You probably know more about that than I do, Russell. It says, if the storm strengthens, reinsurance stocks may face the most pressure since Florida is heavily reinsured market. More people have insurance from stuff like this in Florida than kind of any of them. That's why Houston, not very many insured losses. Same thing with South Carolina. I think most of those people didn't have the stuff. Losses could be double-digit billions if the hurricane hits Florida as a strong Category 3 and below $1 billion if it hits Category 1 or a weak Category 2.
It's a 4.
Right, but it never...
It turned into a 4 overnight.
I know, but they always seem to cut back a little bit before they hit land, but let's hope it does. Exposed reinsurance include Axis Capital, Everest Re, Renaissance Re, and AIG. Do you know who the hell are these people? I know who AIG is. Do you have any idea who Axis Capital, Everest Re, Reinsurance Re are? Exposed homeowners insurance insurers include Universal Insurance, FedNat, Heritage, Progressive, and United... I don't know who any of these people are. Do you, Russell?
No, they're... I
know AIG is, but... Exposed...
Yeah, so you said United, right? I mean, they're all reinsurance companies. They pool all this stuff. And then they spread the risk among a bunch of other people. So the whole industry kind of, especially when you're talking about Florida and the homeowners insurance that they have to offer... they try to spread it around as much as possible, spread the risk around as much as possible.
And this is one you shouldn't, I mean, just as I'm not an expert on hurricanes or whatever, except a lot of the insurance on the hurricanes, meaning even like in Houston and stuff, your house, you might be screwed on your house, being not in a floodplain, but you're probably going to get paid if your car is underwater. Because your car insurance probably does, I think, Russell, I haven't read mine lately, I think your car insurance is covered by that. So a lot of what's paid out, it's almost people pay almost as much for people's cars in some of these areas than they do their houses. I mean, some of your biggest insurance things in like Denver and in Orlando and stuff have been from hailstorms. You know, because your cars are pretty much covered on everything. I mean, exposed personal auto insurers include Berkshire, Progressive, Allstate, Travelers, and National General. I don't know why State Farm's not in there. Berkshire's who? Which is their auto company? Is that...
They're Geico.
They're Geico? Okay. Exposed commercial insurers include AIG again, Assurant, Zurich, CNA, I know those guys, United Insurance, Chubb, and Progressive. I know Chubb. Those guys are all traded on the exchanges. On a consolidated basis, the most exposed insurers include Berkshire, Progressive, Allstate, Universal Insurance, and AIG. They're talking about energy people. Operators evacuated 10 platforms, moved 5 rigs out of the storm path, shut 19 in all. 19% of oil and 11% of natural gas output in the Gulf of Mexico. 324,000 barrels a day of oil production and 283 point something MFCF per day of gas. What the hell is that? Well, I think it's a lot of yes.
Million cubic feet.
All right, I guess that's a lot. Must be yep. a lot. All right, so
something
there is.
Like that.
I mean, there is definitely some stuff here that's, if like you say, the difference between 100 mile an hour winds and 140 is like night and day in terms of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so this does not look good. Obviously, we'll know more about it tomorrow morning. When's it supposed to hit? Like this afternoon?
Yeah, I think so. I think midday today, or a little bit later this afternoon.
And it's going to work its way all the way up, actually across the country into Carolina and areas where
it's going to go. I've been in Atlanta. I lived in Atlanta for just over 4 years, and I've been in Atlanta when one of these things would blow through. It's interesting. So I lived in a high rise. So I could just sit up there and watch. It's kind of like a fireworks show because you just watch transformers blow up over and over again all over the city. It's an interesting thing to see.
We went for you don't work the SIBO anymore, so I can say we went on one of those boondoggles where we, you know, the meeting with the member firms, and we were down at what's the key just south of Tampa. It's not really you can drive right by it. Not Keys and something or other, but not in the Keys. It's along the
right.
Anyway, so this huge storm comes across the bay, and we're in this high-rise, and there's only one bridge onto this island, right?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
And so Audrey keeps poking me. You see that? What are we going to do? I'm afraid. But we're not going to drive across that bridge in this storm. There's no downstairs to go to. My suggestion is just go to sleep. Well, you know, that wasn't going to work, right? Oh, I can't go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I'm too nervous. What are you going to do? We can't go anywhere. Well, I got to watch it. What good is that going to do?
Well, yeah, how's that going
to
help?
Yeah, so then the best part is when she wakes you up to let you know about the lightning strike you just missed. Like, you know, okay.
You see that?
There's not like an instant replay on the lightning. Did you see that? No, I didn't. Well, you should have seen it. Okay. Well, I didn't.
Okay.
Anyway.
Describe it to me.
But I tell you what, and that wasn't even a, this was one where they thought there were going to be tornadoes, but there wasn't. But it was boy, pretty nasty coming at you. I mean, the amount of lightning in these things is unreal.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, can you imagine a time when, before the last hurricane hit, they already had way more rain than they normally get. The place was already soaked. Then they get Florence, and now they're going to get this thing. I mean, how many inches of rain are we up to here? About 50 in 6 weeks? It's kind of a lot.
Yeah. They're going to be, it'll all drain off and then we'll move on in life.
All right.
Weather happens.
$1 million question. I was convinced, given the track record of, the current group, I'll say, that they like to cause a firestorm when there isn't one, declare victory and talk how they beat up the other guy. And it's like the guy who constantly had a fight in a playground and beat somebody up, even though there was never a fight kind of thing. I was absolutely convinced, 95% sure, 10 weeks ago, Russell, that the same thing would happen with China. That somehow or another, there'd be some meeting where we declare victory, and, you know, President Xi's now his best buddy again, but we kicked their ass on these tariff things, and now everybody's going to make a fortune. I gave that a 95% chance of happening before the election. Then I was 90, then I was 85. I'm nudging under 40 here. I don't see it happening. I mean, it's like it's getting worse and not better. And Larry Kudlow's not coming out in the afternoon and saying, oh, by the way, the Chinese are in a plane right now while we're in talk and the market turned around to go up. There has been boo on this. And some of these firms now are coming out and saying it's going to be a 10-year deal. We're fighting with these guys. I mean, where do you come down on all this? I mean, it's really, I mean, the market is so convinced that the risk is to the upside, that they're going to declare a victory and we're going to have that 3% up move one day. And nobody's really worried about these interest rates going up, and nobody thinks we can have a 3% downside or more. I'm fine. I got everybody's covered and whatever. But I just, to me, it seems real strange. You're in it, but you're not exactly in it every day watching stuff for people like I am. What do you make of this? I mean, what is your percentage? I mean, this news is big market movers, and I don't see it happening right now.
No, I think a lot of people are kind of like you said, are in the boat that you're in. We're kind of prepared for it, kind of hedged, you know, around it, and, you know that any kind of move like that might, you know, do a little bit of damage. But I think more and more people have gotten smart about hedging themselves, and that's one of the things that's actually continued to keep the market calm, because
people aren't afraid to buy in or whatever because they're not too worried about a big move.
Well, but the people every day, all day long, will tell you, only the chumps get out, don't ever sell. Even if it's down 2%, it's a buying opportunity. My lifetime, there's been two times where 10 years later, the market's lower than it was today. Are we about to be entering one of those, or is 2% or 5% down on Amazon a screaming buy? I don't know. I wish I knew.
It has been lately, but we always get some sort of correction, and the market's way ahead of where it should be. So that will happen. If we get some sort of slowing of economic activity, which is very possible with higher rates, that's going to happen too. Now, it might just be a year where we're practically unchanged year over year. We had one of those a while back.
Yep.
Where the S&P 500 was almost exactly where it was from December 31st to December 31st. I see that as a higher likelihood than some sort of short-term correction.
Well, that's ideal because then you don't have people doing margin selling.
I think what's going to happen, if you take a long-term trend line of GDP and inflation and we match the kind of the stock market to it, like broad stock market measure, they move in the same direction. The stock market gets ahead of it and then comes back down.
All right, Russell.
Sometimes
this is a great
stock market does nothing and it catches up with it.
Russell, let's talk about this next Wednesday. This is great stuff. S&P futures down 550. Dow futures on 27. Be right back. Be right back tomorrow morning. Stacks and Jacks.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.